the row between the Ulster Unionist Party and the DUP over the siting of a peace building and conflict resolution centre, the Maes Long Kesh site, has intensified. A war of words kicked off yesterday again after the Ulster Unionist Party leader, Mike Nesbitt, wrote an open letter to the First Minister, Peter Robinson, asking him why the conflict centre has to be at the site of the former prison. In his reply, Mr Robinson accused Mr Nesbitt of trying to obscure the Ulster Unionist past involvement in placing the centre at the Maes when they chaired the Maes consultation panel. Mike Nesbitt is with us now. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Steve.
Jonathan Bell is sitting in the studio this morning, but apparently you won't engage with him. So what's going on here, Mike Nesbitt?
Well, I have engaged, as you know, Stephen, on television and on radio, not least in your own programme, and it seemed to me that often on this issue we tend to generate more heat than light. So what I was attempting to do in my letter to Peter Robinson was to focus in on and shed some light on the issue. And where I am at the moment, Stephen, is I'm looking back and I'm thinking that I believed at one point that victims and survivors had been well consulted on all these proposals, because I actually sat in on one meeting, which Peter Robinson references in his letter as a pre-consultation meeting,
where
was an awful lot of heat generated at that. But it turns out there weren't very many engagements.
Oh, Mike, why didn't you oppose a peace building centre then?
Mike Nesbitt has made it clear that he wants to speak to me and then I'll speak to you, and those are the terms of the engagement that we have agreed, Jonathan Bell. So one second.
He shouldn't be allowed to run away.
One second. He's not running.
He's running away.
Well, hold on. Stop. Don't start to try to run this radio programme. I run it. Stop. Or we'll turn your microphone off. It's as simple as that.
I just don't know why he's on the way.
So, Mike Nesbitt, you were consulted about this plan, were you, as the First Minister has claimed?
Yeah, and I don't think the issue is a laughing matter.
Oh, no, either. Mike, you never told us before that.
Can I just clarify, because I do want to be fair to you this morning as well as anyone else. Do you want to engage with Jonathan Bell or not?
I wrote the letter because I wanted to get away from the sort of confrontational exchanges which do no credit to the innocent victims and survivors who were at the centre of this, Stephen, because they were not properly consulted down the years. And I have to say...
Okay, but is the First Minister right, Mike Nesbitt, when he says, he alleges that you were consulted about the plan and that you raised no objection?
No, what I did was I sat in, representing the Commission, on a meeting that was organised by the Strategic Investment Board and facilitated by the Community Relations Council. And this was a meeting of representatives of victims' groups on both sides of the community. I sat in to listen. The Commission did not have a view at that time. If you remember, Stephen, there were four commissioners, all equally empowered to take a view. And it was very, very difficult to get a consensus when there were four commissioners.
Did you express your view within the Commission at that time?
No, I went along as an observer to report back to the other three commissioners. That's what that meeting was about. And what I was able to report back was that the venue, not the idea of the Peace Centre, but the proposed venue, split the people present at that meeting right down the middle. And it was clear that Republican groups did view it as a shrine, whereas those from the Unionist community saw it as the scene of a crime.
So,
I have to say, I've had a response from Peter Robinson, as you know, to my open letter, and I am stunned that there is no reference to the RUC George Cross, to the RUC George Cross Widows, to the UDR Regimental Association, to the prison officers, to the innocent victims, including Innocent Victims United, who represent thousands and thousands and thousands of victims. And they're not mentioned.
Well, was it not?
And they weren't even consulted.
I'll bring you in one second, Jonathan Bell. But was it not the Ulster Unionists who placed the Maes at that centre, placed the centre at the Maes when they chaired the Maes consultation panel, Mike?
Well, Edwin Poots put his hand up on behalf of the DUP to anything that was agreed by that panel. And I'm very keen, Stephen, to get away from the whataboutery of all this.
And yet you write an open letter to the First Minister.
Yes, because I want to put the facts down. The facts are being contested, and I want to make sure that the position of the Ulster Unionist Party is clear. Can I also say to you, Stephen, the DUP very proudly talk about how they went to St Andrews in 2006 and, in their view, ripped up the Belfast Agreement and renegotiated everything. So anything that happened before 06 cannot be blamed on anybody else because the DUP renegotiated.
Okay.
And what I don't understand now, Stephen, is whether the DUP want to have this centre at the Maze because they think it is the right thing, or whether they are trying to blame somebody else because it's going ahead.
Jonathan Bell.
This is a very serious matter because we're dealing with the Ulster Unionist Maze legacy. They handed us a legacy. And in 2005, and you go on the BBC website, 25th of February, David Trimble, as the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, said, told us the Ulster Unionists endorsed the decision and they had made a terrible mistake because the Ulster Unionists had placed the peace-building centre inside the Maze. They actually put the peace-building centre inside the Maze. David Trimble told us as leader...
Nesbitt wasn't the leader then.
He endorsed the decision. The Ulster Unionist leader told us he endorsed the decision. The Ulster Unionist chairman told us that as Ulster Unionists, they were telling us the Maze project would put swords into plowshares. As Ulster Unionists, they told us the Maze
You're going back
was
8 years ago.
A remarkable blueprint.
You're going back 8 years. A lot has changed in Northern Ireland 8 years. And by the way, a lot's changed within the DUP
the
in 8 years.
Ulster Unionists told us, Stephen, that the Maze folly that they initially engaged in was their symbol of hope for the future.
Do you seriously have to go back nearly a decade to defend your argument?
Here's why I'm laying out the case, because as Dr. Brown told us in Sullivan, you always go back to the sources. How did we get here? This was the Ulster Unionist legacy that led us to here. So when the First Minister inherited the leadership of unionism, when it had been passed on to us by the people, we were faced with a situation whereby legally the Ulster Unionists had agreed to a decision to place the peace-building centre inside the curtilage of the Maze prison. We were then faced with a situation that the only way we could change the situation was either to close the Maze site down, or secondly, to try and sanitise or take out the toxic Ulster Unionist Maze project nature. Now, the First Minister, who will always lead in the best interests of Northern Ireland before party advantage, and I laugh because Mike won't engage with me in these matters, and these are serious matters. And of course, the RUC, George Cross Association and the UDR all pleaded with the Ulster Unionists.
Well, he said he wanted to engage with the First Minister and he wouldn't come on.
Not to release the terrorists that murdered their loved ones. And the DUP and Peter Robinson voted against that, to release those terrorist murders of their loved ones. It was the Ulster Unionists that opened the gates of the Maze and emptied the terrorists back onto the streets. Now, let's be clear.
Well,
David, the First Minister, and well, is Darren
no, no, no,
Spoon
no.
This morning?
This is not a monologue, Jonathan,
okay.
So just stop there. Geoffrey Donaldson within your party has said that he can give a personal guarantee
yes.
that of what will and will not be permitted by the DUP in relation to retained buildings
That's
of the
right.
former Maze site.
Yes.
How on earth can he guarantee what Sinn Féin will be able to leverage or not
because
leverage?
Because of the success of what Peter Robinson negotiated at St Andrews, the First Minister in the Democratic Unionist Party has a veto over anything that will happen at the Maze. Now, the First Minister was left with a difficult decision. I put this
question...
He
can't tell Sinn Féin what to do, can he?
We can veto what they do, so we can. So let me
so
be
when,
clear,
for
Stephen,
example,
no, let me be clear, just this one point, because I want to ask all of your listeners out there a simple question. There was the question that Mike was asked four times at the committee, and he couldn't answer. The First Minister said, I was faced with a situation of either closing the Maze and letting the tumbleweed blow round it, or to look at a prospect that would allow £300 million of investment that would create 5,000 jobs, that would put something like 100 million and 1,000 different pieces of construction that would boost small to medium enterprise. Now, the First Minister had to make a decision. Did he close the Maze site, which he could have done, or did he seek to detoxify and sanitise? So what we did was we took the Peace Building Centre out of where the Ulster Unionist Maze project.
Well, Mike Nesbitt, who's now gone.
Yeah, but he ran away. But look, we took the Peace Building Centre out of the prison site.
He says that he would support the broad thrust of the Maze development.
Because of what the Ulster Unionist Maze project locked us into, we were left with a situation that we either ignored £300 million and 5,000 jobs, or we closed the site. The First Minister acted in the best interests of Northern Ireland, because we've now got the largest construction site in Northern Ireland. Now, Mike Nesbitt said originally, and that's the point I was laughing, because he wouldn't answer. He said it was OK if we put a £40,000 stadium on it. That was OK then. We didn't. We put a Royal Ulster Agricultural Society show on it. The biggest show that we have ever had. 100,000 people on the site.
That's not where the conflict is, though, is it? That's
not where the controversy is. Site. They came in under the union flag of the Royal Ulster Agricultural Society. They had one of the best shows that were ever. So the Mike has to answer two questions. And he ran away.
Okay, well, are you comfortable?
The first question, Stephen, okay, he has to answer is...
Well, let's talk about questions that you have to answer, Jonathan Bell.
Because
you've had a fair crack. So are you comfortable, and are you going to use the veto against John O'Dowd's proposals, by the way, uncovered by the Ulster Unionist Party, Freedom of Information request, that he's going to use
Wasn't it a Freedom of Information request from the Ulster Unionist Party? That's my understanding.
Well, if I'm wrong, I'll apologise, okay. But that's my understanding. John O'Dowd is considering using the Department of Education's social media networks to generate interest among schools. Hold on, that he is considering developing educational support materials, which could be disseminated to schools, that he's considering using a new online platform, designing a ready-to-go peace-building and conflict resolution room for teachers to take, copy and use for their own needs.
Let's not dissemble and put out the Ulster Unionist disinformation here. The question is, has the Office of First Minister and Deputy First Minister got the power to be binding and to enforce its decisions across the government departments? We do have the power to ensure that the situation is binding and enforced. And let me be very, very clear. Peter Robinson came into politics after his friend was blown up. My deputy leader and our MEP had their disabled son while they tried to murder the parents in the Royal. We will not, and I am guaranteeing you this and putting it in black and white, we will use our veto to ensure that the innocent victims and survivors, nothing will happen on the Ulster Unionist Maze project. Nothing will happen under the buildings that were listed under the Ulster Unionist Watch. Nothing will happen that would cause any offence or gratuity.
You can see that Sinn Féin intend, well, you can see what the Department of Education is intending to do under the guidance of the Minister. So what do you say to the Education Minister?
Here's what I'll say to him.
This is important.
The Office of First Minister and Deputy First Minister, it's binding and enforced. So I'm telling the people of Northern Ireland that under the DUP, we will detoxify the Ulster Unionist Maze proposals. There will not be a museum. There will not be a visitor attraction. We will not tell the history of the Maze site or the history of the Northern Ireland Troubles. There will be no exhibition related to the Troubles.
There will be nothing about nothing. There will be nothing about hunger strikers. That's not part of the story of Northern Ireland.
There will be no exhibition related to the Troubles. The centre will not be a place where people will go to hear the story of ex-prisoners or their innocent victims.
And that's not part of the story of Northern Ireland.
There will be nothing
in this shared future.
Stephen, there will be nothing in this site that will glorify terrorism. We had to make a decision to either let go of £300 million and 5,000 jobs. Nesbitt said it was okay if we put a 40,000-person stadium. We put 100,000 with the RUAS.
That. Yeah, you
so
said that.
If it was all right
you've
under the Ulster Unionists to put a stadium,
right.
How is it not much more better when we put 100,000 of the Royal Ulster Agricultural Society?
Okay. So let's look at the reality of this situation. Let's say you do have a tour of the site, and it's a tourist attraction.
Stephen, I'm not getting into conjecture. We have the veto. I am telling you critically clear.
Is there any chance of asking you a question? You've got your page of notes here.
Yeah.
Do you just want to read it all out?
You've got your computer full of notes.
I know, but do you want me to go home here?
Your notes and I've got mine.
All right, so just hold on, Jonathan. I need to be able to ask you a question, though.
All right.
Okay? So let's calm down. So, when tourists from all over the world come to this site, mm-hmm. and they are trying to learn about Northern Ireland, and we're being told that by the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister, and they're collectively telling us this, that the future of Northern Ireland is dependent on a shared future. It's dependent on compromise. It's dependent on understanding each other's perspectives. Are you seriously saying that that the perspective of some in the nationalist community of this, of their story of what happened in Northern Ireland, is absolutely wiped from history at this site?
What I'm saying to you, very, very clearly, and I hate conjecture because there are many innocent victims out there who are listening, and I want to speak through you, Stephen, directly to them, the innocent victims of terrorism. We have taken the peace-building site that the Ulster Unionists placed within the Mays prison-listed buildings. We have taken it out. We have separated it from it. We have brought in an architect who designed the Ground Zero. We brought in an architect that had expertise in designing a venue to innocent victims.
But in terms of what happens...
So what I'm saying to those innocent victims...
Even to define what is an innocent victim, Jonathan, is controversial in Northern Ireland.
As a terrorist, Ulster Unionists made this mistake when they equated victims and victim makers together under the Ulster Unionist watch. Mike Nesbitt, when he was a victims commissioner, and he's been exposed this morning, offered no opinion when he was victims commissioner. No opinion on the Mays site. But look, let me tell the innocent victims of Northern Ireland.
We can't define what...
Under the Democratic Unionist Party, you ask me a straight question, I'm going to give you a straight answer. We will not tell the history of the Mays site. We will not tell the history of the Northern Ireland Troubles. There will
How's
be
that
no,
reaching out to another community? How's that about a shared future?
Because the innocent victims deserve justice.
How do you define innocent
There will be
victim?
No... Well, a terrorist is a terrorist. The person he terrorises is the innocent victim.
Was Martin McGuinness, in your view, a terrorist?
Yes, he was.
So the deputy...
He's admitted himself to being a terrorist.
So the First Minister's happy working with a terrorist, is he?
No. The First Minister said that if the IRA give up terrorism, if they decommission their weapons to an internationally binding standard...
So the First Minister walks around the world with a terrorist, does he?
Well, Martin McGuinness is a self-confessed terrorist.
Martin McGuinness has never confessed to being a terrorist in his life.
It's your use of the word terrorist. So silly. You don't know Martin McGuinness was convicted in a court in the Irish Republic for membership of the IRA.
He would not describe himself as a terrorist.
I don't care what he describes himself as. He was a terrorist and he was convicted in a court, as I understand it, in the Republic of Ireland as a terrorist.
So is this the DUP?
He was the second in command of a terrorist organisation.
Is this your vision of a shared future?
My vision of a shared future is this. The new centre will have...
Calling the Deputy First Minister a terrorist?
He was a terrorist.
But is this your vision of a new Northern Ireland and a new future?
We're not going to rewrite history. I'm not going to make the mistake...
Well, you're not going to tell any history, apparently.
What the site will do will allow an international focus. It will allow a strong academic base. It'll offer a conference-type facility for those who are genuinely engaged conflict resolution. What I'm telling the innocent victims of Northern Ireland, we have taken the peace-building centre out of the maze that the Ulster Unionists placed it in. And what we're telling you, as a veto, as Democratic Unionists, we will not allow it to be a visitor attraction. We will not allow it to be a museum. Okay. There'll be no exhibition related to the Troubles, and the centre will not be a place where people will go to hear the story of ex-prisoners or their victims.
Okay.
That is Democratic Unionist policy, not the Ulster Unionist poisonous legacy that they left us.
I'm talking about you, about your party here. Now, let's actually look at this, Jonathan. Okay? A peace and reconciliation centre, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no mention of conflict.
What we're saying
is right?
There will be an international focus and an academic base. What we are not going
what
to...
What does that mean?
What we are not going to allow, Stephen, what we are not going to allow at all is that the history of the Troubles to be told on the site. That's why we're saying there'll be no exhibition related to the Troubles.
But
the centre will not be
not
a place where people can go to hear about ex-prisoners and innocent victims.
Do we not learn from history, Jonathan?
We do.
Why can't we tell both stories at that centre? Why not?
Because what we need to have is a internationally focused peace-building centre outside of where the Ulster Unionists had placed the building. We need to let it have a strong academic base. We need to allow conference-type facilities there to look genuinely at conflict resolution. This nonsense... where the Ulster Unionists left us with
Jonathan, a toxic legacy
of a peace-building centre inside of me. It has been changed under the Democratic Unionist
Party. You're saying that, but I'm talking to you. I want to talk to you, not about the Ulster Unionists today. I want to talk to you about what this centre could potentially do in Northern Ireland. And you talk about academics and academia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would they not want to talk about the different perspectives in Northern Ireland from the different communities and how there were very much strong stories perceived on both sides? Would people not have the brains, wherever they are in the world, to come and to be able to look at the history from both sides. Is that not a mature Northern Ireland?
The mature Northern Ireland can look to a peace-building centre that has been taken outside of the prison, can look together at learning about conflict and conflict resolution. What the Democratic Unionist Party will ensure is there is nothing. And OFM, DFM have the power, legally and binding, and the First Minister is absolutely clear. He made a decision on the basis of £300 million of investment and 5,000 jobs, rather than close the site down. So he made the decision to detoxify and sanitise the mess the Ulster Unionist legacy had, where they had a peace-building centre inside the prison.
You keep on saying this.
But that's
a reality. If you think the public will that stupid, you're just going to keep
I'm trying to bring this above
the party politics. Are you trying to have
Stephen,
shot after shot?
There are people out there, including my own family, right? My grandfather that tried to murder him when he was in the police. My uncle, when he was in the Ulster Defence Regiment. I remember my children were in primary school and nursery school, and I was held 40 miles away in a police station while armed police took over my house during the period when terrorists were going to murder me that night, and the police gave it to me in writing. I know there are many people out there in Northern Ireland, the innocent victims of the terrorists. And what I'm saying to them directly, and it's not a party political message, is we will move forward. We will go for growth. We will go for investment.
Hold on a moment.
But we will never glorify terrorism, and we will detoxify the Ulster Unionist legacy.
What you've just said is that is part of your history,
yes.
A story which you could very well argue needs told.
Yes.
As could people of a community differing from you, who have individual stories themselves, who may feel that they're the victims of British collusion, who may feel that they are the victims of the British state, who may feel that they are innocent victims. Mm-hmm. Are you denying that their story can be told?
What I'm saying to you is that we...
What about Bobby Sands' son, for example? If he wants his father's story told, is he entitled to have his story told?
But Bobby Sands was a terrorist. We will not allow
his
any
son wasn't.
Of the glorification of terrorism. And, you know,
you have
an interesting interpretation of terrorism. I mean, you seem to forget that, Stephen...
The definition of a victim in Northern Ireland is needs mature...
Yes.
Political.
But the Ulster
insight.
Unionists equated a victim
Unionists.
With a victim
I'm
maker.
I'm not talking
but
about the Ulster
record.
Unionists. I'm talking about your party.
Yes, we have changed.
The definition of a victim,
yes.
Jonathan.
But the reason why there can be no storytelling at the maze is it is too sensitive for the innocent victims of terrorism.
Okay.
And just to go back...
So you want a conflict resolution...
You don't believe Martin McGuinness was a terrorist, and yet he confessed in the Savile to being the officer commanding on Bloody Sunday.
So don't put words in my mouth. So what
he
I have
is
said is...
a terrorist.
I have said that Martin McGuinness would not define himself as a terrorist.
Oh, well, can't look, but he was a terrorist by any reasonable and rational definition, and he defined himself as a terrorist. Now, what we... The story is
so,
too
so
sensitive
in your words,
in
and these aren't mine, but in your words then, in your logic, you're happy to be in government with people who you would define as terrorists, but you're not prepared for terrorists to tell their story as you define them.
What the Democratic...
How logical is that?
It's very logical. The Democratic Unionist Party will ensure there is no glorification of terrorism. That's why we took the Peace Building Centre out of the Ulster Unionist plans to place it
and,
in the maze.
And for the people...
That's where we differ. We will never glorify terrorism,
and for the people,
nor allow it to be glorified.
And for
terrorism
the people,
is terrorism, and it was wrong.
For the people that may make the short walk to the retained buildings, are you happy for them to get a tour?
There is no plans for the retained buildings at all at the moment. There is no agreement. So everything that you've been told by Mike Nesbitt in collusion with Jim Allister and a whole range of others.
Here you go again, let's talk about you and your party.
No, well, what I'm saying about me and my party...
Tours are happening now, are they
we
not?
We will allow nothing to happen. There's nothing can happen in the listed buildings without the Democratic Unionist Party's agreement.
There's nothing can happen in the listed buildings without Sinn Féin's agreement
That's
either.
That's right. So we, the Democratic Unionist
You're
Party...
You're really reaching out to them this
Democratic
morning,
Unionist,
them terrorists, aren't you?
I'm going to tell the truth. Tell the truth, let the sky fall. They were terrorists. And we said to them that if you give up terrorism, you decommissioned your weapon and you sought a democratic mandate, we will respect the democratic mandate.
Concede,
and that's what we do.
Do you concede
but don't
the
ever
tours
try
are
to
happening
tell me.
Now at retained buildings?
What has happened is there are people allowed onto the site with the Democratic Unionist Party's approval. We have ensured that there is nothing on the site on those listed buildings that could in any way glorify terrorism. We stood against terrorism, our party. I mean, I was in the Somme a couple of days ago
so
with a man.
So what are those tourists doing? Stephen,
I have a man, I was in the Somme with him, Councillor Alan Breslin, who still has in his body the bullets the IRA pumped into him. There is no way we will ever let that site be used to glorify terrorism. What the site will be used to do is to put construction jobs in, to put 5,000 jobs of the people in Northern Ireland. And in Strangford, we are on our knees in the construction industry.
And do you know
we desperately need those construction jobs.
Do you know what's happening at the tours now? Do you know actually
yes,
what stories being told?
No, there is no stories being told. The Democratic Unionist Party
no
will ensure no glorification of terrorism.
Are you sure?
None.
You sure there's no stories being told?
None, because we have a veto on it and we ensure that there is nothing done to glorify terrorism. That's the success of the DUP over the poisonous Ulster Unionist Mays legacy. And that's why Mike had to run away and couldn't engage with me.
Jonathan Bell, thank you.